For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 27th, 2006. Dr. William Nall is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of gluttony.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you now, Lord. We come before you, Lord, and we ask for an outpouring of your spirit, Lord. Lord, that we just release the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, Lord, and we will behold you in your glory and what you have for us and the way you'd have us to go and what the hope of our calling is and the power that you've endued us with. Touch us now, Lord. Open us. We rebuke the spirit of stupor, the deaf and dumb demon that would blind your eyes and close your ears that you cannot hear God's word. We bind it in the name of Jesus and command it to be gone, and we speak open heavens now in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, yesterday I talked to you about the diet that God laid out in the Bible and that you should follow. And basically, we said that you don't eat scavengers, things that go around eating slop and dirt and cleaning up the universe. You don't eat fat in any of your dwellings. You don't eat animal fat. Those things just defile God's temple, even though they do taste good. And you eat the herbs that produce seeds and the trees that produce fruit with seeds. You don't eat things that don't produce seeds. You don't eat toadstools and molds and algae, because these things don't produce seeds. And God didn't give them to you as food. He did give you meat as food, as long as you don't eat the fat of the blood. And it's best if you eat the things as God gave them to you. Eat the whole food. I have a book here that I'm going to talk about a little later on that's called Superfood Prescription, 14 Superfoods That Will Change Your Life. And it talks about beans, blueberries, broccoli, oats, oranges, pumpkin, wild salmon, soybeans, spinach, tea, particularly green tea, tomatoes, turkey, and walnuts. And a number of what he calls sidekicks, but they are foods that are related to them. And they have in them the bioflavorings, the isoflavorings, the bioflavorings, that are in unique combinations that God put them. Now, the supplement people will take the major isoflavoring out of soy, and they will manufacture it and put it in a capsule and sell it to you, and tell you that this is the same as eating soybeans. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because the flavorings in soy, 51 different isoflavorings in soybean, and they are in a unique combination. And if you eat the whole soybean, you get the whole 51 types, and they have a marvelous effect on your body. For instance, the lycopene in tomatoes is very good for your skin. Protects you against cancer and a number of other things. And if you take the lycopenic acid and you feed these rats their regular feed, and you put their regular feed and add the supplement, and over here you get them their regular feed and powdered tomatoes, guess which rats get protected? The first two, the regular food and that with the supplement, the instance of cancer is the same. But the ones over here fed the dried tomatoes have 50% less cancer because of the protective effect of the the microchemicals that work in a unique combination together. So it's best to eat the whole food. Now, tomatoes are unique in that when you store them, canned tomatoes work as well as the whole fresh tomatoes. The tomatoes in salsa work as well as the fresh tomatoes. Tomatoes in ketchup work as well. I don't like ketchup because it's got a lot of sugar in it. And I talked about sugar yesterday. And you need to read. For instance, I was buying some blueberries, and they had dried blueberries at Sam's. And it just looked so good, like raisins. And it tasted good. Then I noticed the caloric content was sort of high, and I got my 10-pound loop down. And in this little fine print under there, it said, contains dried blueberries, high fructose sugar. They had been dipped in sugar. That was the reason instead of 80 calories a cup, it was 160. Now, you need to read what's there and just get the unaltered. Now, the frozen blueberries are good as the fresh blueberries, and they're available year-round. The small wild blueberries are much better than the cultured, but don't taste as good, you understand. But they're smaller, so they have more skin, and the bioflavorings are concentrated in the skin. Grapes, dark-colored grapes, are real good. The French have always had a good mortality rate, even though they eat a diet that is high in cheese. And it's called the French paradox. But then they found it was the isoflavones in the red wine, the 2 glasses of red wine a day that the French drank, that protected them. I don't like wine because you're all priests before God. If you're saved Christians, you're priests before God. And the Holy Spirit is resident within you. Now, a priest was forbidden from drinking wine or intoxicating drink before they went into the presence of God. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You're in the presence of God all the time. You have a relationship with Him. You are physically present with Him. You're positionally present, and you have a relationship with Him. You're not supposed to be taking intoxicating alcoholic beverages that dull your senses. That's the way I see it. Well, anyway, this book is called Superfoods RX. Now, this gentleman, Stephen Pratt and Kathy Williams, put this book out several years ago. It's an excellent book. But they put out a new edition called Superfood Health. And in that, they have a tremendous amount of New Age. They recommend yoga and transcendental meditation and Pilates and Tai Chi, all of which are oriental meditations. And consequently, I don't recommend that book. But the educational part, the food part is solid. It's good, solid, scientifically researched. And all the foods listed in here on God's diet. In one place he recommended that catfish was a first cousin to wild salmon. I don't recommend catfish. These foods will improve your health. For instance, blueberries. Blueberries are called brain berries. They reduce the incidence of Alzheimer's. All you white folks in here, if you live to be 90 years old, there's a good chance you'll be blind from something known as macular degeneration. And to prevent that, eat lots of fresh vegetables and eat blueberries. It will protect you against macular degeneration. Macular degeneration, instance, is much lower among people of color. But you white Anglo-Saxons, it's high. And lots, it prevents heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, just all sorts of things. Oranges, you know, I talked to you about oranges yesterday. If you eat the whole orange, peeling and all, because the bioflavoring are concentrated in the peeling. And the peeling is pure pectin, which is soluble fiber, which will help your diabetes, will regulate your sugar absorption from your gut. And digesting all that pulp, all that fiber, will lower the caloric content of the orange. So today we're going to talk about, we want to lock the door so nobody can get away, we're going to talk about obesity and gluttony. And I told you yesterday that I struggled with that for 40 years. Now, in rejection, there are roots to rejection that are properly in that drawing back there. And from the family side comes something known as curses from the sins of the forefathers. It comes in from idolatry, from stubbornness and rebellion and idolatry, and is passed down family lines. You only have to look at families to see that this, my father was heavy. My grandfather was heavy. He had three brothers that were heavy. My grandfather was heavy. His father was heavy. His father was heavy. And Israel was heavy. He was born in 1820. I mean, obesity ran down the family line. They were stubborn, rebellious Germans. And this curse came down the family line. On the other side, it can come in. And it comes in from both rebellion and stubbornness, or it can come in from fear. Now, in rebellion and stubbornness, it comes in as a curse from idolatry. And that's from any type of secret society, any type of false religion, any type of legalism. If you've been in a church that was very legalistic, there is an antichrist spirit known as legalism. Paul speaks of it in Galatians. And let's turn to Galatians. I don't have the translation that translates it the best. The Revised Standard translates this the best, according to Derek Prince. Brother Glenn has got a set of tapes back there, a set of 9 or 10 tapes of, actually, they're CDs now, of basic teachings on the person of Jesus Christ given at Christ for the Nations when Derek Prince was in his prime in 1965, or 67 or 68. And they are magnificent. And I picked this, I listened to them this year, or maybe last fall. And there was something I had picked up, and it was nice to hear Derek, the old master, confirm it. But let's look at Galatians. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were bondage under the elements of the world. Now, in Colossians, that's translated principles. But that word elements, Revised Standard says elemental spirits, which is correct. The word means spirits. You look at verse 9. Now, that after you have known God, or rather are known of God, that you turn again to the weak and elemental spirits, which you again desire to be in bondage. It is the same word in Colossians 2, 8, verse 8, and verse 20. It's also used in Peter when he speaks that the elements will be burned in fervent fire. I always wondered how in the world sodium and potassium and chloride held them in bondage. But he was talking about the elemental spirits. Now, the Greeks, there were four elements, fire, wind, water, and earth, I think. Okay. Now, they were more than just that. There was a spirit attached to them. They had life. And there was a spirit attached to them. And if you could get these spirits working for you, then you had things going. And what they said was, they were not replacing Jesus Christ with these spirits. They were adding the spirits to Jesus. In other words, we're going to worship Jesus, and we're going to worship these elemental spirits and get them working for us also. They were adding to, and this was what they did with Baal. They added that to it. They added the god of fertility, the god of rain, and they added, and the Baal worshiped the spirit and everything, and they had all kind of altars everywhere and shrines, and God said, tear those shrines down. But when they came into the land, they said, well, you know, it's all right to add, to offer the hint too. These other people do it, and they seem to be doing all right. What's wrong with getting a little help there? Like the person who carries the cross of the Star of David and the cross and the Crescent of Mohammed. They want to get in good with all of them. And God says that is whoredom, spiritual adultery. Well, if you were raised in a church with extreme legalism, you went back under the elements trying to define your spirituality by what could be measured on the outside. How long your skirt was, how long your hair was, how much makeup you put on, whether or not you trimmed your beard just right, and so forth. The legalistic, they have a whole rule book. Do you know that the Hebrews took the Ten Commandments and they wrote the Talmud? And the Babylonian Talmud has 60 volumes. They spent three volumes, defining what work was. You had to know what it meant. Says, you shall not work on the Sabbath. What does that mean? Well, it means you can't carry a burden any heavier than two dried figs. If you're a tailor, you see, your symbol of your work is a needle and thread. You can't put that in your coat. Well, if you walk around that on the Sabbath with that needle stuck in your coat, you've worked. It's a sin. You've broken the law. And once you break it in one point, then you're guilty of the whole thing. So, this curse of extreme legalism, the curse of drugs and alcohol, which is a type of whoredom, the curse of divination or gambling or divination. You know what you're doing there when you go to the crap table and you shoot the dice? You're casting lots. That's divination. In Isaiah, there's an interesting curse on the gambler. And so, those curses come down the family line and can enter you as diabetes, can enter you as gluttony, and can destroy your physical body. You can have curses put on you by your parents, your grandparents. And, oh, look at him. He's just like Roscoe. He's going to be fat just like Roscoe. He looks like him. He's going to be fat just like him. And that's an idle statement, but that if that is spoken by a person in spiritual authority, it has effect. There is a spirit that is dispensed to bring that to pass. It's like if you go to the fortune teller, Satan's servant, and you sit there and put yourself under her authority or his authority and have your palm read or have them lay the cards for you, you have placed yourself under their authority, and their pronouncement for you is Satan's pronouncement, and it has legal authority. It doesn't have authority over God's pronouncement. Derek Prince tells a story that he was praying for a lady. I've heard him tell the story several times. It's on those tapes, Inheritance of the Children of Light. And he tells this lady came up in morning prayer, and he said, you're a witch, I won't pray for you. And so she came back 6 months later, and she said, I've repented. She still didn't want to pray for her, but he felt like he should pray for her. And so he was praying deliverance, and he cast out a demon, and all of a sudden, up in front of the church, he looked up and said, Brother Prince, I see you in an automobile wreck crashed against a tree. And he said, you foul spirit of divination, I'm not going to be in an automobile wreck. I'm not going to be cast in. I refuse to accept your pronunciation for me. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. Didn't come to pass. But if he had let that lie and accepted it, Satan would have manipulated the circumstances around him to bring that to pass. Ain't that scary? If it don't, it should make you aware of the power of the spoken word. And it can cause you in a spirit of obesity. This young man called me, and I've been working with him, and I hadn't seen him, and hadn't been able to get him down here to the camp. And I had been giving him advice and talking to him. I haven't seen him in a while. And he said that he told me that he was having terrible trouble with his weight. And he was trying, and we talked about portion control, and we talked about this. He said, but you don't understand. There's something in me that I have to go eat. Now, when you got something that drives you, that compels you, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. You say, my will, I am not. But you find that your will in that area is in bondage. And you say, no, I am not going to do it. And you get a headache. Or you begin to sweat. And your hands begin to tremble. And you say, I am not going to eat that ice cream. And you sit there and you try to watch television. And you get up and you're nervous. And next thing you know, you're at the refrigerator. Put it in the can. What's this? Oh, well, I got it out. As well eat it. Now, that's demonic. That's called bondage or slavery. And that will come into you. Now, lots of people get into problem because they like to eat. Now, there's a fear can bring a thing known as self-pity. You've been mistreated. You've been rejected. You've been stolen from. You've been talked down to. You've been humiliated. Anybody baptized me, you ever had those things happen to them? And suddenly you feel like everybody's against you, and you want to sit down and cry, help me. I'll just go eat something. I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. And you go eat something. Your flesh tells you to go eat something. You feel better. And it tastes good. And you can, as you yield to that over and over, you can pick up a demonic spirit called gluttony. Brother Prince talks about the lady that her husband is not treating her right. And she feels rejected and unhappy. And the Episcopal lady will turn and have a martini. And it doesn't bother her anymore. And she becomes an alcoholic. But the Assembly of God lady, to whom alcohol is denied, in most cases, she will turn to the cookie jar and the pastry. She will go over and eat a pastry to feel better. And after she has realized that she is overweight, and she goes on her diet, and she is a good girl for all 3 days, she rewards herself. You've earned this chocolate sundae. That's the flesh or the demon talking. Now, you got to be careful. The flesh, how do you tell the difference between the flesh and the demon? You can deny the flesh. You are not, your old man was crucified with Jesus Christ, therefore you are not in bondage to the flesh, to the law of sin and death. The law of life and the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you can say, no, I will not do that. And you can walk away from it. Hard, yes, but not impossible. If a demon is there and he has been yielded to and yielded to, he will not let you rest until you give in. As somebody trying to give up smoking. I know what that's like. I smoked 25 years. I didn't smoke. Cigarette smoked. I was a sucker that sucked on the end of it. That's right. You know, if you smoke, you don't smoke. Cigarette smokes, you're just a sucker. Burn up your money. Getting cancer. Heart problems. 25% of the people in the hospital today are there because they smoked cigarettes. And they say the cigarette companies ought to pay for that. Well, how are they going to pay for it? They're going to charge more for the cigarettes. And all the politicians are happy because they got money to spend. Very little of it goes to pay for the health care of the cigarettes. They pump that on to your health care bill, your insurance bill. You pay for it with your health insurance, and they're taking that money and they're spending it on their pet programs of one thing and another. It disappears into the general budget. That general budget is just like a big sinkhole, you know. More you give it, the more it wants. Well, let's don't get into that. And so the roots there, first, is from the family, from the curses, from the abuses. I mean, you can be abused in the family. Fear will come in. Rebellion and stubbornness and bitterness will come in on pride and on fear. Self-pity is the big one, or the grasshopper spirit, or just being scared. But they will come in and you will pick up that spirit of gluttony in which you yield to the flesh. And then you will pick up a spirit of gluttony. And so those are the roots. Now you can get a spirit of gluttony if you were subjected to starvation when you were little. And when you had a chance to get food, you just ate. and you fear that you're going to starve to death. And that fear is down in there, and it can be a demon that will make you overeat. But those are rare. Most of them come in because you've been rejected, you feel sorry for yourself, you've been hurt, and your flesh says reward yourself. And the third, some people, the flesh, the center of their life is eating. And some folks like me just like to eat, you know. I mean, I'd like, my wife was a good cook, and she cooked good things, and I used to love to eat, and I ate too much. Maybe I had a demon, I don't know, but maybe I always figured it was just my flesh. I just had difficulty denying my appetite for good things. And to me, the meal time, supper time, was always a delightful time when we sat around, enjoyed good food, and talked to the kids. But I did not control my appetites. I catered to the fact that it tasted good. I liked it. I liked sugar. As I told you yesterday, ice cream was my failure, ice cream and pop. It's strange how you can get seduced by those things. Convince yourself that you're not really eating that much. That was the reason I liked our Weight Watchers, in that they made me accountable for what I ate. And I carried my little pad around with me and wrote it down for several months, wrote down everything I ate. And I was shocked at how much I'd eaten, and all my colleagues just thought that was funny. But I was trying to get a handle on my weight. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so, those are the roots. Food is always before you. Temptation is always before you. And God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, let's see what it says here. Before we go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Yeah. Starting back here with at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is Paul. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are before. Okay. Forgetting those things which are behind. You mean I forgot to forget about how rude that woman was to me? I got to forget about how they mistreated me? Made me feel just that big? I got to forget about that? That's what he says. So how do you forget something like that? Well, you forgive. You don't pick up an offense. You know that love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. And if you read that, take that word that they translate sin, and you'll see its first, in the concordance, its first meaning is offense. Love covers a multitude of offenses. Somebody offends you, you love them. You forgive them. Now, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, I can go into Matthew and show you, it says, in Matthew and Mark and Luke, it says, if you want your sins forgiven, you got to forgive. In Matthew chapter 18, you're all familiar with the parable of the unforgiving servant. Well, let's look at that. Matthew chapter 18. It makes an important point. You know, the unforgiving servant, man owed his master 10,000 talents, which is several $1 billion. Couldn't pay him. Master was going to sell him and all of his wife and children, everything he had in slavery, and he's asked for grace, and the pastor had compassion and forgave him. He went out and grabbed his fellow servant, who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is a day's wages. And so at $100 a day, the wage today is, say it's $100 a day, then he owed him $10,000. And he said, well, give me a little time and I'll pay. And he grabbed him by the throat and he wouldn't let him pay it. He just threw him in jail. And so they went and told the master, and the master said, you know, I gave you for all that money, and here you for 3 months' wages, you put this man in jail. And he was wroth with him. And what did it say he did to him? Here it is. And his fellow servant, he said, I will. And so the fellow servant saw what was done. They told their Lord what was done. Verse 39, the Lord, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you have not had compassion or pity on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you. And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of his brother that trespasses. Do y'all know what that word, where that word tormentors comes from? Now it depends on your Bible. Some Bibles say torturers, and others say tormentors, and some say the New NIV says they put him in jail. Well, that word in the Greek originally meant people who tested the value of money. They used caustic compounds to see whether that was real gold or real silver. And then it got translated into the people in the jailhouse who tested your testimony to see whether you were telling the truth. Now, the Roman centurion turned Paul over to be scourged that he should tell the truth. In other words, he sent him in, tied him up, and he had the lictors come in with their sticks, and they're going to beat him to make sure he's telling the truth. You tell the truth, how come those folks ran? They beat him for a while. That's what that word means. It meant those people who tortured folks tested your testimony in jail. Now, to get the people they got to do this were sadistic people who enjoyed hurting folks. They were demon-possessed people who were sadistic and enjoyed torturing people. You know, put your hand there and the ground maiden and tighten and crush your little finger and this finger and this finger and this finger and finally your thumb. Every time he asks, are you sure you're telling the truth? What else do we need to know you know? And by the time they get to that, about halfway up this little finger, you tell them anything they want to know. But those are the kind of folks that get a hold of you. And that describes the demon. They enjoy tormenting you. They want to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible and as humiliating as possible so they can say to God, look what's happening to your image down here. They can't touch God. They hate God. God beat them. They get rebelled against God and they lost. And they know that they're under judgment. They know they're going to the fiery pit. The fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew, Jesus speaks of it. But they hate God. They can't touch God, but they can touch his image. And he said that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. And the word image in the Hebrew has come down into modern Hebrew to have your photograph taken. And Jesus was the express image of the Father. And he was a male human being. He's the express image. The word used is the image left when a seal is pressed into sealing wax. Exact duplicate. And the demons want to say, every time a poor drunk walks down the vomiting and falls in the gutter, say, look at your image now, God. Every time somebody's lying there writhing in pain from cancer, he says, look at your image now. And he's got experts to make you writhe in pain and hurt. And when you, and so, if you don't forgive, that's the fellows you get turned over to. Why does God turn? No, you walk out from under God's protection and they're waiting out there. That's the spiritual law that God has set up in the universe. That's His spiritual law. Don't violate it. You know, if you violate the law, you go to jail here in this country. Supposed to anyway. You violate God's law, there are consequences. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood that you can turn and pull away and you can forgive. Well, how do you forgive?
Dear Lord. Lord, help me.
It says in Matthew 4:45. Let's look at that. Because it's very important. Very important to know that forgiveness is a decision you make that you're going to do. But it's more than saying, I forgive so-and-so. It's more than making that simple statement. Look at Matthew 5:44. 43 says, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who spitefully use and persecute you. And if you're interested, you can look at Luke 6, 28 and 35 and James 2:13 for parallel verses. You pray for the people who've hurt you. To forgive means to give up the right to revenge. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says to forgive means to give up the right to revenge, to give up the right for repayment. That means that you give up the right to see them pay for what they did to you. When you forgive, you give up the right. Now, God is an absolutely just God, and He will judge sin. And He wants you to forgive and pray and ask Him to have mercy on the people that hurt you. What happens if you don't? Let's turn over here to chapter 7 in Matthew. It says, judge not. That's not a good word there. You know, this is not discernment we're talking about. It's condemnation. It can be translated, if you've got a large King James Version, you look at the marginal reading, it says condemnation. Condemn not that you be not condemned. With what condemnation you condemn, you shall be condemned. For with what measure you meet, it will be measured back to you. And so now, if you want God to forgive you, you forgive everybody else. If you want mercy for your sins, you ask God to be merciful to the person who offended you. And ask God not to judge. Now, God will do what God wants to do. He will have mercy on whom He wants to have mercy. But He wants you to pray for Him to have the option. He wants you to intercede for that person so he can have that option. I'm reminded of a young lady who was in my Bible study, and she and her husband. Her husband was a worldly man, and he would come occasionally. And he became unfaithful to her, and she caught them. He came back, said he repented, asked forgiveness, didn't want to get a divorce, wanted to stay together. She forgave him and stayed with him. And it wasn't a month before she called them back in bed together again. And she came out of the apartment where they were, got in the car, and he came down and tried to stop her, and she tried to run over him with the car. And he got out of the way. And so he filed charges against her for attempted murder, attempted manslaughter. And she came to me, and since there wasn't anybody else there that she knew of that witnessed it, her lawyer had told her to plead not guilty since it was his word against hers. And she said, what should I do? And I said, honey, to get up there and lie would be a sin. And you cannot expect mercy from God. You don't know if anybody saw it or not. You get up there and lie and somebody contradicts you. I said, you don't expect God to intervene. All you can do, if I were you, I'd get up there and tell the truth, tell the judge the whole story, and tell him that you just snapped, and you know it was wrong, and you ask forgiveness and mercy, and you won't do it again. And she asked the judge if I can tell you the story, and the judge said yes. And she didn't ask for a jury trial. She asked for the judge, and the judge listened very patiently. He was my neighbor. He was a very patient Christian man. He listened to it. He said, well, I think this is a case for mercy, case dismissed. And the husband just went ballistic. He asked the opposing attorney, the prosecuting attorney. He said, the judge has ruled. He said, I'm through with this case. Now, that case, the judge had mercy because of the circumstances. And there may be circumstances that you don't know about. And God knows everything, and God may be merciful. That's His business. It's our business to say, God, be merciful. And you know what? He'll grant you peace, and you can forget what is in the past. If you remember it, it won't hurt. It won't, when it comes up, you also won't burn. And you just won't have that bad feeling that you truly moved on. Okay, let's go back to Philippians. I should have told you to keep your finger there. Forgetting what is behind. Let's continue with verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward which were the things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You know, Paul, this is written at the end of his life, and he's still pressing in. He hadn't arrived. Let us therefore, As many as be perfect, be thus minded. That means, perfect means mature. Be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. In other words, you've got some areas that need to be cleaned up. You listen to the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, we have already obtained. Nevertheless, thereunto we have already obtained. Let us walk the same rule. Let this mind, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so, as we have us for an example. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the mind he's talking about there is in 1 Corinthians 4:16, he says, well, I have the mind of Christ. Now, is he talking about the mind of Jesus Christ? You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ, Christ is not his last name. It's a title. His last name was Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, or supposed, as it says in Matthew chapter 1 on the genealogy. He's Christ in the Hebrew is translated Messiah. In the Greek, it's translated the Anointed One. And so the Christ is the anointing. So you have the mind of the anointing. You have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within you. And He will communicate to you. And who knows the things of God but the Spirit of God, it says. So we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And He says, imitate me as I follow the Holy Spirit. You got me for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. What do they mean, the cross of Christ? Does that mean that they're going to nail him on a cross and hang him up? That means, what died on the cross? Your old man was crucified with Jesus Christ. That the power of sin might be rendered inoperative in your life. You're no longer in bondage to the law of sin and death. For the law of life in the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. You don't have to obey the flesh anymore. People who are enemies of the cross are people who walk after the flesh. They want to do their thing. They want to do what makes them feel good. I like it. I talked about Joshua. I like sex. And so he went back into demonic bondage. And so he says they're enemies. They like the flesh. They want to yield to the flesh. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Whose glory is their shame. Who mind own earthly things. But our citizenship, conversation of citizenship is in heaven, from where we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change out of our body, that may be fashioned like His glorious body. So there's a time coming in the winkling of an eye that you will be changed. Yes, Jesus should come before we perish, before we are promoted. We're promoted. I met Corey Ten Boone in Dallas in 1975, and she was telling of the story of all of people that she had been to in Mozambique and had a great evangelistic campaign, and then she met some people from Mozambique in Switzerland about 5 years later, and she said, how are all my friends in Mozambique? And said, they're all dead, Corey. They killed all of them. Said, we happened to be out of the country when it happened, but they had them come into the they have them come into the police station at midnight. They take them out and shoot them and feed them to crocodiles. And said it was done so quickly and so quietly that they didn't know what was happening, but they killed all the Christians. And she said, oh, Hunter, it's okay, Tori. They just got promoted before we did. They got promoted. So if you don't get promoted, then in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed into His glorious body. But look at this. Okay, whose end is destruction? Well, gluttony will destroy you. It is a slow process, miserable process. You're tired all the time. You're carrying anywhere from 25 to 150 pound sack of flour on your back all day long. And you wonder why you're tired and short of breath. Your heart is pumping through miles of arteries and all that fat, several miles per pound. Your poor pancreas is having a horrible time regulating your sugar load, and you get diabetes, which will kill you, and it is not a good way to die. You get high blood pressure. Your joints wear out. Your feet hurt. You get varicose veins. Obesity will kill you. And doesn't kill you pleasantly. I mean, you know, when you die, you should die a ripe old age in good health with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren around you, and you should go quietly to bed one night and get promoted. At the end, you should be gathered to your people at a ripe old age. You know, the only one prophet ever died of sickness, Elisha. It's the only one recorded. He died of sickness. Okay. And so, you see, the obesity is a type of idolatry. Because you're idolizing food. You're idolizing your selfish desires. Your self-satisfaction. Your selfish pleasures. Now, there's a thing. There is a spirit known as the false comforter. Now, let's look in John. Leave Philippians now and go over here to John. John 15. Okay. John 15:26 says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's the Holy Spirit. And look at 14. Jesus says in verse 14, verse 18, John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless or as orphans. Verse 26 says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. That word is the Paraclete. Y'all heard me talk about the Paraclete. And the Paraclete, it means one who comes alongside. It is the root from which exhortation comes. The ministry of exhortation, the word exhortation comes from the root Paraclete. It means one who comes alongside to comfort, to exhort, to comfort, to speak comfortable words. Well, the Holy Spirit is your comforter, and He will teach you all things, and He will encourage you and strengthen you. There is a false comforter. You know, the enemy has got a counterfeit. And he's called the false comforter. Eat something, you'll feel better. You've earned this. This is your reward. Make you feel good. Taste good. Go out and buy a nice meal. Go out and get a big steak as a reward. You'll feel better. Oh, you're just nervous and upset. Just have a beer. When I was a child, they used to have advertisements. If you're upset, uptight, smoke a Chesterfield, and you'll feel better. To feel better, smoke a Chesterfield. Those were all the cigarette companies advertise the cigarettes as a way to relax, as a relaxer, to comfort you. Alcohol is spoken of to comfort you, to relax you, to make your troubles go away. Drugs? Oh, honey, what you need? Let's go down to the bar for a beer and a pickup. Do you know that it's very common now to this young lady who was one of my patients came back to see me, you know, we were talking about at the college, and she said, you have to be very careful. So sometimes we go down to Joni's, whatever the name of the bar was, I forget, that all the students went to talk. You have to be careful who you go with, Danny Dr. No. You may find yourself alone, have to walk home alone at night. And there's a rapist loose on the campus. Some of those girls, they just go down there and say they're worse than dogs in the heat. They're using sex for the comforter. Go down and find somebody that will comfort them, accept them, won't reject them, make them feel good, make them feel valuable and wanted. That's the false comforter. So you can have alcohol, sex, drugs, food, hobbies, hunting, fishing, sports. Those are all false comfort of spirits. The last way was mine, money. Making money. Workaholic. And you have to. But the one we're centering on today is the most common one, and that's obesity, because sometimes they all run together. You'll have the sex spirit, the whoring spirit, the gluttony spirit, and the alcohol spirit all together. Because if you drink a lot and you eat a lot, you're going to get fat because there's a lot of calories in alcohol. If you've got an alcoholic who's slender, he's going to get all kind of vitamin deficiencies and amino acid deficiencies and run his liver because he's getting all his calories from alcohol without any vitamins. He has none of the micronutrients we talk about here that you have to have if your body is going to function properly. So how do you get rid of all this? First, you break the curses that have come down through the family line. And you bind the fear. And you forgive. Forgetting what is behind. And you get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Know who you are. That you are a child of the living God. That you've been accepted in the Beloved. And you have a Father in heaven who loves you. You're not a rejected child. And you bind the spirit of fear because he does not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And then you say, I'm going to change the way I live. You know, when I got saved, God convicted me that I should tithe. And I had a problem with spending money. You know, I was a greedy glutton, and greed drove me. But the devil had cut a hole in the bottom of my sack, you know, and the more money I shoveled in, the more ran out the hole. And I had all kind of bills and all kind of expenses, and they told me I should pay 10% to the church. I said, I can't afford to do that. I got too many bills. And they said, you cannot afford not to. He said, you're going to have to change some things in your life. I said, yeah. One of them is the way you spend money. You have to change your way. You're going to have to pay your 10% and then live off what's left. You're going to have to change the way you spend money. But I say to you, if you won't to stay slender and to lose your weight, you're going to have to change the way you eat. You have to change your lifestyle. And it ain't easy to change. But if you're serious, we can cast the demons out of you. And we can outline for you. But you got to change the way you think. And deny the flesh. And my advice to you, number one, is that you change the way you eat. You start eating the foods that God has for you. And that's the reason I suggested you get a copy of Dr. Russell's book. Because you got all of God's foods in there. That's the first thing. And you eat them like He gave them to you. Now, walnuts are real good for you, it says there. But don't go down and buy walnuts in a little bag, you know, so you can just eat a handful of them at a time. Go down and buy the real walnuts and crack them and pick the nuts out. That way you won't eat too many of them. You won't overeat them. They're 30%, the oil in walnuts is 30% omega-3 oil. Very good for you. But like any good thing, too much of it is not good for you. It's like that honey I was chewing in the comb. It sure tasted good, but too much of it made me vomit. And too much omega-3 oil will make you fat. So you eat whole cereal grains, plenty of vegetables, whole vegetables. You should eat a small amount of beans, half a cup. Measure it. 1 1/2 cup. Eat it. That's it. Put the pot back in the kitchen or back in the refrigerator someplace so you can't go back. Get up and go leave the table if you have trouble. I remember one lady, we had her father needed to lose weight, and she kept sneaking back into the... He kept sneaking back in. I said, well, I think you'll lock everything up. And I didn't think any more about it, and I made a house call over there. And I went into the kitchen, and she had a logging chain wrapped around the refrigerator with a lock on it. They'd lock on the pantry door, and she locked the refrigerator up. And the poor old man said, I'm starving to death, but his weight was coming down. The daughter was overweight, too, and I said, you know, it wouldn't hurt you going down. She said, for what? I'm not sick. He's the one that's got high blood pressure, not me. I'm not going to lose weight. Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You need to eat 3 meals a day, 2 snacks. I eat my oranges at night. And I told you, when I eat the orange, I wash it with, put a little liquid soap on it, wash it off real good, dry it, cut it up in 8 parts and eat it peeling and all. Good for you. And you know something? After the first week, it don't taste bad at all. Didn't your mama always tell you to eat your spinach because it's good for you? Well, eat your orange peeling because it's good for you. Eat spinach, wild salmon, broccoli. I tell you, broccoli's real good. Raw broccoli's real good if you dip it in salsa. You know, get a good salsa, you know, dip it in salsa. The salsa tastes pretty. Broccoli doesn't have a whole lot of taste. I eat raw broccoli. I remember one fellow said, I only got 5 teeth in my head. Doc, how am I going to chew raw broccoli? I said, well, you got a problem. You ought to have some false teeth then. But you got teeth, eat your broccoli raw. Eat your cauliflower raw. Those are good for you. Good for your bones and good for your blood vessels. You ladies, soybeans are real good for you. They are natural estrogens in soybeans that'll protect you against cancer of the breast and cancer of the uterus. Protect you against hot flashes. Protect you against osteoporosis. You know what a pill for osteosporosis costs? Costs $100 a pill. And you take one a month or two a month, I can't remember, and it's got all kind of side effects. Maybe your muscle cramps, makes you hurt all over, gives you indigestion, number of things. Eat some soybeans. 25 grams of soybean protein a day will give you all the iso flavorings you need from it. And also, I drink the Silk soy milk. I drink 4 cups a day. It gives me all the cow, gives me my calcium. I don't drink cow's milk. I drink that. And it costs a little bit more than cow's milk. That's all right. I don't buy a lot of meat. I eat my salmon out of a can. I eat wild Alaskan salmon. It's got the calcium. It's got the bones and everything all cooked together. And I put a little sauce on it. Somebody told me I eat a little salmon with my salsa. Salsa's good for you. It's got a lot of tomatoes in it. I mean, you know, my beans. I like salsa. I never thought I'd like salsa. But I don't eat sugar. You need to not eat refined sugar. If it's got sugar in it, if it tastes sweet, spit it out. You don't need artificial sweeteners. They turn into formaldehyde in your body. That's just catering to your flesh. You need to tell your flesh, no! Can't compromise with your flesh. You know, the flesh is not a gentleman. He will not keep a contract. He will lie to you. And he will push you, and when you give in a little bit, he takes that, and he pushes some more. Like the union, you know, the union always bargains upward. Of course, the company always bargains downwards, you know. You say he's like the company, always bargains down, see what he can take away from you. The flesh is that way. He's a liar, and he won't keep his word to you. He'll keep pushing you, and pushing you, and pushing you, and lying to you. And so you can't, I recommend this book, 14 superfoods. It'll change your life, improve your health, and help you get the weight off. Patty, I sprung it on Patty yesterday. I should have sprung it last week or so to see if we could get some copies of him. But she's trying to find it for you. I bought these from Books a Million. As I said, there's another one by the same author that says health instead of superfood. It costs $25, and it's a bigger book. But it's full of the new age, and I would not recommend that you get it. The other thing is potion control. You want small potions. McDonald's in 1953, when they first started, a serving of French fries was 6 ounces. Now a serving of regular French fries is about 12 ounces. A supersize is about 20 ounces. And that's the first thing they say, you want to supersize it? They give you a 44-ounce can of pop, which has 440 calories per can. And your kids will get 2 of those if you go away. You let them in there. I don't think you ought to eat McDonald's or any of the fast food places. Their calories are 50% fat, 25% is trans fat, the worst kind of fat in the world. It's all animal fat. Or else it's altered, changed vegetable fat. It's the wrong kind of stuff. It ain't good for you. It tastes good, it's quick, it's convenient, and it's fattening. and it's bad for your health. Highly advertised. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, you break the curses, cast out the demons, and then you do the hard part. Denying the flesh and keeping the demons out. You know, it's easy to cast them out. Tricks keeping them out. And you keep them out by not leaning on the flesh. Have that mind that was in Christ Jesus in you. Lean on that mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Learn to say no. Flee from the sin that so easily entangles. Have your wife put a slogging chain around. It worked. Lock up the pantry. My advice is don't buy and put in your home all those sugared foods. Read the labels. See what's in it. Those bags got a lot of preservatives in it. Eat healthy, fresh food. Don't buy a lot of preservatives in it. Been altered. Got a lot of sugar in it. Eat a lot of fiber. You're supposed to take 44 grams of fiber a day. Average American eats 15 grams. Read how much fiber's in it. Eat oatmeal. My father used to say, if you want a horse to get fat, you fed him corn. If you want him to work, you gave him oats. You boys eat your oatmeal. We ate oatmeal every morning because Dad wanted us to work. I eat oatmeal every morning, and I put ground flax seed on it. Those are your two whole grains. And that has the right kind of oil in it. Got a lot of fiber. And I pour a cup of frozen blueberries on it and sort of stir it all up and eat it, and it tastes pretty good. I don't put any sugar on it. What? What I eat today? All right. I can tell you very easy, ma'am. I have a very simple diet. I eat for breakfast. I eat a cup of oatmeal, 4 tablespoons of ground flaxseed, and a cup of blueberries, and 8 ounces of soy milk. Okay? For lunch, I come over and Ronnie fixes a very nice big salad, and it has lettuce in it, it has spinach in it, it has cucumbers in it, it has bell peppers in it, it has celery in it, it has carrots in it. And I put some olive oil on it. I got some olive oil there, and I put olive oil on it. You need to put a little grease now because the beta-carotene is soluble in oil. And you need a little grease in your body to make your joints smooth. And you put a little olive oil on it, and then I put sauce on it, and that gives flavor, you know. And sometimes I put some raisins on it. Okay. Then for supper, and I'll also drink 8 ounces of soy milk. For supper, one day I will eat 3/4 cup of salmon. Now, a can of salmon has 1 7/8, it has 7/4. 7/4, well, that's 1 3/4 cans, cups in a can. I'll eat a half a can of it, so I eat about a cup and a half of wild salmon with salsa on it. I eat a slice of whole wheat bread that I buy at the bakery that's got made out of whole wheat flour. I'll eat a thing of broccoli, a thing of cauliflower one night. The next night, I eat a cup and a half of black beans instead of the salmon. Well, I eat the salmon one day, when I eat up that can of salmon, then I open a can of beans. And a can of salmon lasts 2 days, a can of beans will last 2 days, and I eat a can of salmon, a can of beans, okay? And I alternate my beans and my salmon. And then in the morning, generally around 10 o'clock, I'll eat 2 oranges, because I eat 4 oranges a day. And then for supper, I'll eat 2 oranges and an apple and another cup of, and then before I go to bed, I eat another cup of blueberries and 8 ounces of soy milk. And that's generally what I eat. It's about 1,500 calories. For snacks, I eat the little carrots, and sometimes I'll eat 2 pieces of whole wheat bread. Put a little honey on it, toast it, and put a little honey on it. I drink 4 cups of green tea a day. I drink 2 in the morning when I first get up. Green tea is very good. If you drink 4 cups a day, there's an 80% chance you won't have high blood pressure. You won't have high blood pressure. 4 cups, it said. That's what the research showed. Green tea. You get that at Kroger's, costs about $4, about 4 cents a bag. I drink 2 of those in the morning and 2 at lunch. That's pretty much it. What? No. I eat apples, oranges. Sometimes I'll eat prunes when Ronnie's got them down here. I like prunes too well. They're a temptation to me. I'd eat the whole bag in a day, so I just don't keep them there. I'll eat them when Ronnie's got them down here. I'll eat 5 prunes, and I eat raisins. Hmm? I eat my blueberries. Yeah. Don't eat the whole peeling. Should wash it and eat the whole thing. I mean, you know. Yeah, bananas, okay. They're caloric. I wouldn't eat too many of them. You ought to eat the peeling. It's good for you. You know, you eat the whole thing that God gave you. Now, I tried to eat the peeling off an avocado once, and it didn't go down too well. Sometimes I eat avocados. Avocados are excellent. But, you know, they're too caloric, and it's hard to find good avocados. And, you know, I get preoccupied with something else, and they sit and they spoil. And so I just don't eat avocados for that reason. I asked Patty about this book and Dr. Russell's book, and I think we need to stop and everybody take a deep breath and get up and let's praise God. I'm taking much more time than I intended. Praise and bless and glory for you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise your name. There you go. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You can get it at Books a Million, or you can get it at Barnes and Noble. They've published a new one, the New Age one, and so they're sort of phasing that one out, I think. But it's they're still having on the stock on the shelf down there. $15, I think. But I got a special discount. I got a Books a Million card, and then they had a special run this weekend with 20% off too. So I paid about $10 for it. But it's a $15. No, ma'am. I'm not. Patty is going to get some for the campground, but she does not have them in stock. No. I would like to. I'd give it to you, ma'am, but I've already given it to somebody else. I would give it to you, I would never sell it to you. I would give it to you, but I've given it to someone else, and you can't give it to but one person. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I have been accepted in the Beloved. My citizenship is in heaven. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. I have a right to call on the armed forces of my nation to come to my defense when I'm on God's duty, when I am following the Holy Spirit. The armies of heaven are my protection. I call on them today to deliver me. Come to my aid. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I repent of the sins of my ancestors, of all curses that have come down from my sin, from the sins of my ancestors. I repent of my sin. I break those curses. Break all curses spoken against me from any source in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the God of the belly. I bind the idolatry. I break the curse of the false comforter. I command them to leave me. I break their power over my life. I bind the spirit of gluttony. I bind the spirit of sweets.
I bind that spirit, sir. You deserve it. You need a reward. You need to eat to feel well. I bind those demons. I bind all those harassing spirits. All fear. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and self-control. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Take a deep breath and let them go. Come out in the name of Jesus. We bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. You leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. All you harassing devils, I bind you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Everybody sit down. I bind the spirits of rejection now. Fear of rejection, rejection, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. I bind it all. Say, dear Lord, I repent. I forgive everybody who's ever hurt me, abused me, cursed me, come against me in any way. I forgive them. I ask you to be merciful to them, to bless them in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of it. And I command it to leave. I command all these demons to leave me now. All gluttony spirits. All overeating spirits. All liking food spirits. All sweet craving demons. All sugar demons. All caffeine demons. All chocolate demons. All good food demons. I bind them. Command them to leave me now. Come on out of them in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let's let them go. Cough in the name of Jesus. Come on, push them out. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. All fear of starvation, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! Come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of being different, come out! Come on out! 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 All of you, we bind you, we break your power. In the name of Jesus, God of the belly, we bind you now. You idolatrous devil, we bind you in Jesus' name. We speak to the false comforter, the lying false comforter, and we bind him and we command him to go now. The false comforter that would keep you in bondage to drugs, to alcohol, to food, to sex, in the name of Jesus, come out. Isolate you from all the spirits, you spirit of bondage. I bind you and I command you to go. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Draw no power or authority from any spirit. You leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. All of you, be gone. Be gone. Bondage. Bondage to food. Bondage to sex. Bondage to drugs. Come out. Bondage to pornography. Come out. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Push them out, people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Push them out. Everybody cough. Everybody. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody holding back because they're worried about what folks might think about them. Everybody cough. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you. Out, all you demons. Get out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All you spirits. In the name of Jesus. All you spirits of self-pity. All you spirits of self-hatred, self-pity. Come out. All you spirits of suicide. Come out. All you spirits said, I don't care. I don't care what happens. Come out. I'm going to do what I want to do. Come out. You lying devils. Come out. Come out. Spirit of self-satisfaction. Come out. I'm going to satisfy myself. Come out. Satisfaction. Come out. Bind you and we break your power. All spirits of diabetes. All spirits of diabetes. Diabetes, I speak to you. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. You let God's people go. 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 sugar-craving demons, all craving demons, go! All sugar-craving demons, sweet-craving demons, come out! Food-craving demons, come out! Craving demons! All you craving demons, I bind you to break your power! Command you to leave God's people now! In the mighty name of Jesus! Come out! Come out in Jesus' name! I bind all of you! I break your power! I come against the spirits of high blood pressure! Heart trouble! Come out! High blood pressure, heart trouble, asthma, diarrhea, colitis! Come out! Cancer! Cancer of the stomach! Cancer of the colon! Cancer of the pancreas! Come out! Cancer of the throat! Cancer of the mouth! Come out! Come in from eating the wrong foods! Come out! All you fat-craving demons! All you fat-craving demons! I bind you! Taste good! I like it, demons! Come out! All you like-it demons! I like it, demons! Come out! It's mine! Come out in the name of Jesus Christ! I break your power! Come out of there! I like it, demon! Come out of there in the name of Jesus! I need it, demons! Come on out! All those I need it, demons, in the name of Jesus! I break your power! I need that! I need that food! I need that quick energy! Come out in the name of Jesus Christ! I need that sugar! It gives me quick energy! Come out! Come out! All you spirits of low blood sugar, high blood sugar, craving blood sugar, come out! In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and I break your power. Come out! 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 Leave God's people! Come out of their eyes! Come out of their nose! Come out of their mouth! All you deaf and dumb demons, come out that would blind them! You stupid spirits that would blind God's people to what's happening to them! Come out in the name of Jesus! I bind the spirits of stupor in the name of Jesus that would bind them into the name, bind their eyes and their ears so they don't know what's happening to them. Come out in the name of Jesus. Speak healing to God's people. Healing. Lord, I call back their soul now. I call back all souls that's been stolen from idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. All the soul that says, whoredom, wine, and new wine, take away the soul. I call back this soul now, Lord God. All the soul that's been stolen in the name of Jesus from death. I speak life to their brains, to their soul now. All the places where their soul has died from idolatry, from lust. I come against the lust for food, the lust for sugar, the lust for fat in the name of Jesus. Come out! The lust for sex, the lust for alcohol in the name of Jesus. Come out of there! I come against that deep desire, that deep lustful desire, that imprisoning desire. I bind that lust spirit. Come out, lust. Lust, come out. I break your power. I call back the soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said that you would restore their soul. They've been rendered by lying. Restore their soul now, Lord God. Heal them in Jesus' name. Speak healing now. Everybody, hold up their hands now. Stand up. Speak healing. Speak healing, Lord. Speak healing now, Lord God. I speak healing to their wills that have been destroyed, Lord God. I speak healing to the will who have been stolen from them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to their will, Lord, to be able to stand. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Touch them now, Lord. Lord, I just strengthen them in the inner man, Lord. That they can go forth in newness of life, Lord, and look forward and change the way they live. Change the way they eat. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.